In most churches in Christendom, this Sunday is Palm Passion Sunday. But for a few select churches here in the Tennessee Conference and the Memphis Conference, and perhaps in others, it's really Announcement Sunday, Appointment Sunday. This is the announcement that you and I both have been waiting to hear. Who's going to be coming? What changes are going to be happening? I have one other appointment to announce as well. Our own Stacy Davidheiser Gonzalez, who's leading worship with us today and has served with us for, what, 5 years around, will be going to serve as the associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Columbia, Tennessee, a position that I served in from 1980 to 84. So I'm really excited for her and for them as well. Change is a part of life, you know? And I could not be more excited that Carol Cavendillen is going to be coming here. I've known Carol for more than 20 years since she came into the conference. I was her brother's pastor, his family's pastor. I knew her dad. And so I'm really, really excited about the gifts that she's going to be bringing to this place and to you. And I'm excited about the gifts that you are going to be bringing to her as well. Now, I don't know Brandon as well. I've known his mom for many years, and she's a wonderful colleague and friend. But I know he has experience, and he has the love of God in his heart. And he will be here to share that love with you, and you to share that love with him. And I am excited for all of you about that. Because you see, this is how our system works. It's how it's supposed to work. It's how it does work. And it works really well, I think. You really don't know much, unless you happen to know these individuals, about who you're getting. But you know what? You didn't know much about that tall, white, bearded kid who grew up in a trailer who told stories when I got here, did you? Besides which, he didn't even stand in the pulpit. And you all have embraced me with your love, and believe me, if you embrace Carol and Brandon with that same spirit, they can't help but be successful, and you can't help but be successful. Now that we've got the announcement part out of the way, let's talk a little bit about the Palm Sunday part, because I really do think these texts that you heard Stacy read inform this very transition. The epistle text is from the letter to the Philippians. Paul is in prison. He is writing to a church that he helped to found. So he's no stranger to these folks. The very first people in this congregation were people that had responded to his preaching to become a part of this community in Philippi. It was primarily a Gentile church. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so it was one of his successes. In a Gentile city, he created a Gentile church following the Jewish God and a Jewish itinerant preacher named Jesus. A pretty remarkable thing when you consider it. But he's writing to them to encourage them. And the thing to note about how he begins this letter, it's a little different from the way that he begins other letters. He addresses every single group and person in the letter according to their relationship to Jesus Christ. Not according to their relationship to him, Paul. No. Or even according to their relationship to each other. He recognizes them in their relationship to Jesus. Even the bishops. That's supposed to be funny. You better laugh because it might get me into trouble. It is not by their standing in the church. It is not by their role in the church. It is not by who joined when he was the pastor there and who joined since then. It is simply by the fact that they have received God's overflow of love through Jesus Christ. And then he tells them that his prayer for them is that their love will overflow. that it will overflow with insight and discernment and wisdom and knowledge and all the other things that come when love begins to overflow. That it wouldn't just be contained within that Philippian community, but it would overflow outside that community to the whole world. Now, where does he get this idea about love overflowing? Well, I think you could say he might get it from the gospel text. When Jesus rides a donkey into Jerusalem, God's love is overflowing into that city. God's love has overflowed from Jesus. Jesus is God's love in the flesh. And that love is overflowing as he comes into the city, not just for the people who are waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna. No. But for later in the week, when he gathers with his disciples and has a meal, he gathers with those people who he knows have betrayed him in one way or another, will desert him, will deny him, and he offers them his body and his blood, that love overflowing once again. And not just for his close friends and disciples either. For the people who are standing around shouting, "Crucify him!" Some of whom were shouting, "Hosanna!" a few days earlier. The love overflows even for them. And when the story takes us up the road carrying the crossbeam of a cross and seeing it placed and having spikes driven through his wrists and his feet and lifted high up, looking down on the very people who put him there, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The love overflowing even for those people who nailed him to a cross, who did to him the worst kind of torture that the Roman Empire could come up with. The forgiveness is even for them. God's love overflows for all. We say it on our t-shirts, don't we? God loves everyone unconditionally. Now, don't get me wrong. God doesn't particularly love everything we do to each other. We break God's heart all the time. God must weep at some of the things we do. But that does not diminish God's love, because our deeds do not control God's love. God loves because it is God's nature to love. And so when we take this journey with Jesus, you gotta ride before you rise. You have to ride through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to ride through the streets of Jerusalem. You have to ride through that Last Supper, through that crucifixion before, when Jesus takes all of the hatred and the hurt and the pain and the misery and the violence of the world into the tomb with him, and with those death clothes leaves it there and comes back to have these encounters with his disciples who have seen him die on a cross, witnessing to them that God has power over the Roman Empire, God has power over the religious establishment, God has power over death. But we have to take that journey to get there. And every step of the way, we are encountering God's overflowing love. And once they encounter him, having seen him killed, knowing he's dead, and then encountering him again, that love begins to overflow through his disciples. And that's our calling, our love overflowing. When I came here as a country kid, most of you didn't know much about me, but you embraced me with an overflow of love. And that is what has made this 7.5 years, in my view, successful. Every single staff person, whether appointed or hired, who comes here, their prayer is that God's love will overflow through them and touch your life in some way or another. I don't know of a single exception. And then your love overflows and embraces us with all of our gifts and all of our limitations. And when that happens, we become a successful church. Now, churches are measured as successful by a lot of different metrics. Usually, it's numbers. Usually, we send in reports about how many people are in worship, how many people are in classes. But you know what I think a successful church is? I think a successful church is a church where the love of God overflows from those in leadership, and that love of God overflows from the congregation back to them, to the extent that God's love overflows outside this congregation into the world in ways that literally transform the world. What if we received each person, not in their relationship to us, but in their relationship to Jesus Christ, the way Paul did? What if you received Carol and Brandon that way, looking for what is of Christ in each of them, letting your love overflow toward them as it overflowed toward me, as it has overflowed toward others of us? God's love overflows from this church all the time. Every time you walk out of this building and go back into your lives, whether it's into your job, whether it's as you shop, whether it's in your home, wherever you are, you have the opportunity for God's love to overflow. We have the example in Jesus, the perfect example of God's love overflowing even to those who nailed him to a cross. Now, ours may not be able to extend that far, but our job is to have God's love extend as far as possible through us for others. And when leaders and congregations share in that, that's what I call a successful congregation. Because you see, no building, no matter how beautiful, can contain God's love. No denomination can contain God's love. No national boundaries can contain God's love. No skin color, language, race, ethnic background can contain God's love. God's love pervades the whole of creation, and we get to participate in it. We get to be a part of that great adventure in the world. And I have been a part of that with you for 7.5 years. Now, Carol and Brandon will come and get to join this wonderful staff, these wonderful colleagues, wonderful lay leaders, wonderful congregation, and they will get to do that too. Now, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise, I will be back someday. But Carol needs to have a chance to establish herself as your pastor before I do that. She was very sweet. We were on the phone when I learned this, and after I learned this, and I told her I would be away for a while, and she said, "Oh, I was looking forward to being colleagues." She seemed genuine. Well, I look forward to that too, one day. But she will be your lead pastor. She will be your senior pastor. And she needs to have that opportunity without me getting in the way. And I don't intend to. But if your love flows to her and to Brandon the way it did to me, she can't help but be successful. He can't help but be successful. You can't help but be successful. Because after all, that is the measure of success in the church. The overflow of God's love. And so my prayer for you and for the staff that is here and for the staff that is coming is that your love may overflow with all wisdom and discernment and intelligence and knowledge and grace and peace and all of the gifts that God's love brings. Thanks be to God.